If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with someone who is a new guest to me, a new person to interview for me. I think that I've been following, as people who listen to the show know, I follow pretty much every local musician I can find. I spend way too much time sort of scouring social media and Manitoba music and Bandcamp and everything else to sort of find everyone who has some connection to Manitoba. And the guest on this episode is someone who I discovered because I saw you were playing Into the Music. And I've gone to a few of those shows they've done so far this year. Unfortunately, I missed yours. I was hoping to go to it, but I feel like they're getting some really cool lineups there at those free in-store shows. And so when I saw your name there, I decided to look further and I liked what you're doing. So, but let's have you on the podcast. So I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what you do as an artist.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me. My name is Julie Fern. I'm a folk singer songwriter, and yeah, I'm definitely what one might call an emerging artist. I'm an emerging independent artist. And yeah, I'm really just getting started, but I've been writing songs and writing in general since I was a really little kid. And, you know, always found music to be super comforting and fun. And yeah, I just recently in the past year, I've really just zeroed in like, no, this is what I'm here to do and what I want to do. So
cool.
That's what I'm doing.
So this is really new then. I mean, obviously, like you said, you've been music's been part of what you do for a long time, but this sort of focus on being a solo artist and doing shows and stuff. What was the reason for jumping in now? Like, why did you decide that now was the time to take this on?
I think I reached a point where I wasn't happy with my life, and I realized that I was being, I'd really boxed myself into a certain identity that just wasn't me at all.
Okay.
And coming out of that, like, I always kept doing music, but it was like it was almost like when you're pushed to your edges and you realize something has to change, something's got to
give.
So that's kind of what happened. Like, it was, you know, just a life experience. But yeah. And music was like the thing that was still shining, that kept me going. And I was like, yeah, no, I can't ignore this any longer. I have to just do it.
Cool. So do you feel now that you've sort of just done it for a year or so, like, you feel it was the right choice? Does it seem like it was a good decision?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I still, like, it's such an interesting experience, and I feel like every artist's experience and musician's experience is completely different.
Yeah.
But I definitely, like, I feel like I'm becoming more of myself and who I'm supposed to be. And once I kind of made that decision, things have started to fall into place in a really beautiful way. So, yeah.
Well, it looks like you're getting lots of really interesting shows too. I mean, outside of the Into the Music one, just looking at some of your past shows online, and you've done some cool stuff.
Yeah, I really like playing in different locations and places. Like, I started off busking.
Yeah.
And I still will, like, busk at local farmers markets from time to time. It's like, it's where I started and it's fun. But it's always nice to get in front of new audiences and also just be in different environments.
For sure.
It just, I don't know, it's always a different performance. Yeah.
And I guess you have the benefit too of being just, you know, it's you and a guitar, right? So you can, a pretty malleable, I guess, as far as where you can play and what kind of maybe even unusual environments you can play in.
Definitely. I think the benefit to being acoustic and being an acoustic solo artist is I can really kind of sneak in anywhere.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
So like, you know, it's easy to go play at an old folks home or it's easy to play at a cafe. Like, yeah, definitely can sneak in different places for sure.
That's a good thing to have. Yeah. Do you, I mean, I know you said right off the top that you're a folk artist. And I mean, we're in a city in Winnipeg where there's such a huge folk scene and anything sort of in that umbrella, roots and folk and all the offshoots into country and bluegrass and everywhere else. There's just this massive, massive scene. Where do you sort of fit in? I mean, I hate asking this question because it's always difficult to answer, but is there a way you can define it more specifically than folk? Because it's a huge umbrella, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm definitely still developing and exploring a lot of different things and influences, but like I fell in love with folk music as a kid because every song told such a story.
Yeah.
So I think that sort of storytelling aspect always really spoke to me. And so like I'm influenced and inspired by those classics. But at the same time, there's a lot of contemporary folk that sways on the more side of like indie music or roots music and even kind of like gospel influence.
Sure, yeah.
I think these days, like when people ask what kind of folk music, I emphasize that I like the stuff from like the times past because I really do like bringing in that sort of sound and that sort of energy in my songs. But, you know, I'm hoping as I develop and try out different sounds and playing with different people that I can explore kind of like the folk rock side of things, as well as the indie folk. It's easier to do solo sometimes, but that sort of like clap, like that roots, folk roots, like almost like bluesy kind of style.
Sure.
I really like going for too. And lately I've been having a lot of fun playing with a little bit of a sort of like European folk influence. My family does have, I do have family that's from Portugal. And
oh,
so
cool. Okay.
Traveling in Portugal this past summer, I got to listen to a lot of fado music and the drama and the vocal so wild. And so when I've been, you know, playing my folk tunes and writing music, and as I'm really having fun performing, I notice that there's this, I don't know, there's a bit of that sort of like fado energy that like comes out. And so I'm having a lot of fun vocally exploring that too. So
and that's that's a completely different vibe too than what you're gonna get from just being very, very prairie folk, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it is, I like that you say prairie folk because, you know, I think of like Neil Young and I think of like that sort of sound and I love that. I love that sound. But I love the little, like, I don't know, that bluesy flair has a bit of like European like rhythm to it or something. That's something that I'm kind of exploring these days, so.
Well, I think so, that European stuff, just because of the, like, just the length of time it's existed for, it's had so many different influences and developed in so many different ways, too. So even just getting a bit of that in your sound, you're kind of, in a not-so-direct way, connecting with all these different other genres that have sort of melded into that and then now into what you're doing.
Definitely, yeah. It's like a little, like, yeah, it's like following this little thread, which is really cool.
Yeah, yeah, it is cool, yeah.
Mother tells me my life.
Pray for moonbeams, pray for nighttime sorrow. Pray for wind and wolves, pray for our tomorrow. Mother tells me my life's purpose will make more sense when I get old. But for now, I'm just a girl out of moon. I'm a wolf running through the woods. Oh,
as far as the storytelling thing, I mean, I know that is for sure what draws people to folk music, right? And I think that, I mean, Neil Young's a great example of someone whose lyrics are equally as important as the music. I mean, I like listening to Neil Young. I mean, I love Neil Young, but I like listening to him play something that's just like 10 minutes of feedback. But I also like listening to the very, very heartfelt, like very, you know, intense kind of folk stuff. And one thing that's come up a lot on this show over the years I've been doing it is that people in Winnipeg and in Manitoba, regardless of what genre of music it is, I think that we have a very high, I'm saying we as in like the royal we have a very high bullshit detector. Like people know, people can tell when someone is not being genuine. And especially in a genre like this where that storytelling aspect of it is important. How do you feel about that? I mean, do you feel like you need to sort of tell stories that are maybe not extremely personal, but that are real to you?
Yeah. Oh, this is a cool question. Like, so I have a very wild and active imagination. And I think a lot of like, obviously, the creative brain does that. So in my life experiences, when I'm writing music based off of an experience, there's already a degree of like imagination and like fantasy, perhaps,
sure,
that's being put into that. So, yeah, I think it's important to like tell your story. And I definitely have songs that I've written and that I'm working on that are pretty vulnerable and like personal to me. But at the same time, I really like, as a kid, when I would listen to like Johnny songs and like, I'm just thinking to memories in the car, like as a really little kid listening to certain songs, and I'd never experienced that before ever, what they're singing about.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I felt it so deeply. And so I think that to me like spoke to my imagination. And so now I do have other songs where the subject matter and maybe the voice, like I have a song, Hills of Spain, and it's based off of a Spanish folktale that I made up.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And it's the story, it's like kind of this it's a song about this love story between a gypsy girl and a boy who they couldn't be together and blah, 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 blah. And so I made up this I wrote this song about real feelings I was having, but then after I wrote the song, this story really came into my mind visually. And so that's what the song is about. Like, in my mind now, like, as far as I'm concerned, it's about this story that I've kind of orally communicated to people before I play the song. So yeah, I mean, I guess to answer your question, like, I think there's a time and a space and a place for both. But what I really like doing is I like blending those two things, like the real, the raw, the intimate story, your own experience, and then just like stories in general that like speak to everyone's experience, no matter who you are. Yeah. Like, we've all been happy, we've all been sad, we've all felt the same things. It's just different ways. So that's why I love. Yeah, that's why I love listening to songs that do kind of take you on this little journey. And I really try to do that with my songs too.
Cool. Yeah, no, yeah. I like the sort of unusual approach there with the story coming after. Yeah. One thing
it's
you said.
It's never linear.
Yeah. That's good, no. Though. I mean, that makes it more interesting, right?
Shall I hear the ancient murmur of reckoning? Moon call across the opal sea, wind song chanting, beckoning. Who gives the sun is approval? Who loves unconditional? But holds mystic favoritism for those who sing in sleep. For before the sun had risen, we were but voices in the dark. Golden shadow vision, guiding blackness with one arm. Shed light with graceful courage, shout with audible taste. Set sight on the midnight mountain, though your voice begins to shake. Ooh, 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 ooh.
What you said a few minutes ago about hearing music and not necessarily having the same experiences as the people are singing about, I like that, because I find there's a lot of music that I listen to that you know, regardless of genre, that could be talking about something so specific in a place I've never been to, and these people having experiences I've never had. But if it's done well, and if the song is written in a way that connects, like, you can feel like you're there. I mean, I'm sure that is sort of the same thing you're talking about with some of these stories and, you know, the imaginative stuff that you write.
100%. And I think, like, you know, that's what music does. Like, and I mean, if we didn't have the words, we would still have the feeling, but that's like the beauty of the words, like, yeah, that it does unify people through this, I don't know, this, however you want to call it, like this magical thing or this like natural thing. But you can listen to a song with someone and they have a completely life, different life experience than you, but you can both feel something really similar from that same song. And yeah, I just like, I love that. Well, I love that stuff.
I do too, yeah. And the opposite of that actually can happen too, where you can put out a song and it can mean something very deep and personal and, to you, and then someone else can hear it and they can put sort of their own, they can filter it through their own experience and they can interpret it a totally different way. Like once it's out in the world, it's out of your hands, right? Whatever you intended in writing it, it's now, there could be 35 different interpretations and none of them are wrong, right? They're all like sort of what the song is meant to do.
Exactly. And it's like, I started writing poetry when I was little, and I even like studied it for a bit in university before I dropped out. But it was COVID, so I had an excuse.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's legit.
No, I did like poetry. Like lately, I've transferred into more like songwriting is what I'm spending most of my time with a pencil in hand for. But I used to write a lot of poetry, and it was always just understanding that like it's kind of a conversation, like. You don't know how someone's going to read it, but you know that it's going to open a certain line of conversation, like inner dialogue with them, inner experience. So again, that's like a really cool thing. And that's what makes it also pretty like vulnerable too. And all those things. I was going to say something else that you made me think of, but I forget now.
That's okay. If it comes to you, you can mention it. But I do like that idea of this kind of shared parallel vulnerability. Like you're experiencing something, but it's not necessarily the same, but the song made it happen, right? The song made you experience that feeling, whatever it is. And it could be the complete opposite of what the person beside you is feeling, but the fact that you're both feeling means the song worked.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's what jogged my memory now. And that's the cool thing that I've been experiencing as I'm like sharing my music now more like publicly. Cause I was a very like shy, closeted musician for a long time.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to just like get in front of people and sing. But now that conversation is happening during a performance, and that is something that is really cool and equally terrifying because the other week I was playing a show and it was at a bowling lane.
Was that Park Alleys?
Yeah, at Park Alleys. Cool. It was super cool, like such a good vibe. But like there's people bowling, you know, like I couldn't really tell, like it's like the connection between me and the bowlers was obviously different between me and the people who are sitting.
For sure.
But yeah, it's just that element when you're performing of realizing like, oh, people are having an experience in real time with me.
Yeah.
Like a shared experience. And that is something that definitely like, I don't know, it can give you a lot of energy.
Yeah.
In a really good way, like to experience that sort of exchange and whatever. So
you have a small amount of control over it, right? I mean, you're sort of controlling the ebb and flow of it, but ultimately it's really kind of what you experience, what they experience. It's connected, but different.
Yeah, exactly. But I do love, like, my favorite performances have been those ones that are, it doesn't matter if the environment is kind of like attuned to be more intimate, but any time where there is some sort of intimacy established, like, and yeah, I mean, I want, like, something I wonder about as a new artist is just like when people are saying to crowds, like that level of intimacy and connection is still present, and how wild that must feel.
Yeah.
So
when you have a giant audience in there, you still be able to make that connection. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah.
So this song is a response to when I was questioned about what I was thinking about all the time. It's called Wander. Where do you go? When you wander,
at this point, I mean, like we've been saying, you're an emerging artist. You've sort of been at this in earnest for about a year. What is the plan for the relatively near future? I mean, I know we're at the end of 2024. Do you have big plans for next year as far as whether it's shows or recording or anything else?
I definitely have big dreams. I think that's like I can show you my big whiteboard that's in the corner of like me trying to mastermind plan all my. All my antics. All
so you're
my
really
shit.
Plotting this out then if you have the...
I am trying to, but I also am trying to like let go of control at the same time. My thing is for the past few months, I've definitely been kind of saying yes to everything, like saying yes to all the gigs no matter what.
Yeah.
And I'm reaching a point in my own capacity and also just the season where I feel like it's time to slow down a bit. And go into a bit of a like, you know, creative huddle and really think about the concept of my songs and the concept of an album, because that is my plan. Like, I really do want to record and release music. And, you know, I'm a real person. So it's like budgeting, figuring out how much money I got to save up, like figuring out, you know, what I need to have prepared. And right now I'm recording demo tapes with my dad in the basement, which has been really fun. And it's definitely been like a learning process. Like, I started out thinking like, I'm going to record these demos, like lickety split. I'm going to like send them somewhere magical and then someone's going to call me. And it's like, no, I'm actually, as I'm recording things, I'm learning about structuring my songs and I'm uncovering different ideas and stuff. So right now, the next few months, my plan is to just like keep writing about everything and making vision boards and like mood boards of what I want this album to be.
Okay.
And then also just applying for festivals for the summer. Like, I really, really hope to play outdoor venues this summer because it's just so much fun playing outside.
Well, it's the best thing about summer here too, is that there's so many shows and festivals and things happening.
There's tons, like every other day. And like the little ones are the best ones.
For sure.
I think.
They are.
So, and I haven't experienced like a summer in Winnipeg for a while. So I'm really looking forward to it and just catching all the sweet little. But yeah, and so I'm really hoping on my master whiteboard, you know, you'd see like 2025. At some point in the fall/winter to be like getting recording studio time.
Oh, cool.
But we'll see.
Right on. Well, I like that you have a plan though. I mean, because a lot of people are just sort of doing it as they go, but it sounds like having the board and everything written out, I mean, at least you have an idea of what direction you want to go in. The good thing about this being a podcast is someone could hear the day it comes out, in which case you're still a new emerging artist, or they could hear it a year from now or 5 years from now, because apparently I can't stop making the show. So it'll be around for a while. And so if someone hears this, you know, at any point, what's the best way to find out more about you, hear more of your music, whatever you have at that point?
So my website is juliefernmusic.com. That's my latest and greatest, back end business creation.
Yeah.
That I made myself. I post on my Instagram, juliefern.folk. That's kind of where I update people about like what gigs I'm going to be playing and just other little random poetic anecdotes. And then same thing with my YouTube channel is juliefernfolk, where I'm going to be posting and I do post covers and little snippets of originals.
Yeah, there's also little live videos on there. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Sometimes I like to do little live, just like pop up random lives and, you know, whoever gets to catch them, it's always kind of fun.
Cool.
So yeah, that's definitely where you can find my music. And I do have a demo on Spotify right now. So if you look up Julie Fern, you'll find it. It's called Midnight Mountain.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.